Greetings, everybody. Let's all stand. Sometimes we just stand up because this is how we organize our brains at Pentecostal services. We just stand a lot, so it helps us to transition from one thing to the next. Okay, you may be seated. No, I didn't come up here without my notes. First of all, we'd like to welcome all of our guests here tonight. We're so glad to have you at Calvary Gospel Church. If this is your first time here, we'd like to have you come by our welcome center in the back. We have a free gift for you. We'd just like to collect a couple points of information to get to know you a little better. If you're visiting online, you can do the same thing at the bit.ly link at the bottom of the screen there. And we just thank you for coming. So glad you're here. We'd like to remind you of some giving options at Calvary Gospel Church. There's four ways to give. You can always give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person by placing your offering in the box in the back, or you can give by mail, or you can give on the mobile giving apps called Church Center if you want to look on the App Store and download that. That's the best way to get connected with Calvary Gospel Church, and we're so thankful for everyone who supports our mission here at Calvary with your giving. Amen. A couple of announcements. This Saturday is the Ladies Fellowship at 6 p.m. This is for all the ladies. We ask you to please bring a lawn chair and your favorite snack or dessert to pass. There's going to be some volleyball, bonfire, and some food there. And just inviting all the ladies out Saturday, July 15th, all right? Talking about our camp, going into camp season, next week is our kids' camp. And so all of our children, anyone got children going to kids' camp this year? All right, we got some hands up in the air. I've seen you back there, brother, with your hand in the air. The following week is our junior and senior high camp. And so what used to be senior camp is now split into two different camps to make so we have enough beds, and we've run out of bed space. And so there is the junior high camp, essentially, and then the senior high camp. And then the week of July 4th is going to be our family camp. And so we just ask for everyone to please be in prayer for that. As all of these young people will be traveling a lot, but also staying there at camp. And we know this is a fantastic time to get closer to God. And we're so expecting to have many reports of kids getting the Holy Ghost at the children's camp. It happens every year. And so we're thankful for that. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. There's been a lot of needs, a lot of special needs in our congregation over the last few weeks. Many folks are dealing with cancer situations. We have some children that are in the hospital, and a lot of needs that are happening. And so we just want to remember all of those children that are in and out of the hospital and their families, but all of those that are facing cancer diagnosis and things like that. If you have a need here right now, would you lift your hand up and we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer right now, believing that God can do anything, touch every need right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, God, right now for moving on this service, God, moving in this sanctuary, God, touching every family, every single heart that has a need, God. We ask you to touch every single prayer request, every single family that has situations with children in the hospital, every cancer diagnosis, everything that's been happening, God, so many things, God. We just ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch every need, Lord, tonight, and have your way in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. If you wouldn't mind, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? We're going to enter into a time of prayer and worship. Would you just worship with us? Amen.
The rage and need is still everywhere. He's silencing my every fear. is impossible. He's reaching out to make me whole. He's reaching out to make me whole.
The one who put death in its place. His life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God.
Thank you.
His home around. Hear the mighty rushing wind. All of the people are worshiping. We fall and rise again. Oh, it's indescribable.
The Lord, church. Such such a sweet, powerful presence of the Lord in this place. If you're a guest of ours, I know Brother Jerry already welcomed you, but I just want to welcome you on behalf of Calvary Gospel Church, our pastoral team. The ladies' event that you saw July 15th is actually this Saturday, June 15th, so the date on that is incorrect. And you can be seated for a few moments, and just going to bring you up to speed. We do have our camp starting up shortly, and my wife and I have been up and back. We're going to be leaving again Friday afternoon and going up for a couple days, just helping get some things. We do have a new caretaker, Brother Justin Roche and his family, and this is his first year to set the camp up and such all on his own. And for those of you that have never been there, we have 120 acres. We have cafeteria, dining hall, number of dormitories, like small motels, a number of bathrooms, almost 120, I think 118 campsites that the water has to all get up. And all that stuff has to be mowed and maintained, whether we're there or not. And so it's a challenge, so we're just giving him a hand. And also, I was supposed to actually have already had ankle surgery, and that was supposed to take place a week and a half ago, but that has been postponed. I thought probably indefinitely. I wasn't for sure. And it sounds like they want to do that on June 25th. So that's coming up pretty quick. And I will be out probably 4 weeks, with 4 to 6 week, and up to, well, I can't drive now, they're saying for 10 weeks. So you'll be safe for 10 weeks. I don't know what my wife's going to do, because I don't do boredom. I get bored. I don't know what, we'll endure somehow, but nevertheless, that is coming up. And just to give you heads up on that. And before I get started tonight, we're doing a series on living the everyday principles of faith. And before I get started on this, we had in Dodgeville, we have a UPCI church there, and Brother Simon Chappell has been the pastor there for a number of years. And a month or so ago, he resigned from the church, and they are looking, or were looking, for a pastor. And Sunday morning, they voted in Brother Kevin Brown and Sister Linda Brown as their pastors. And so this is going to be their last service for a while. And I know they have a lot of things to sort through here. So before they leave, and we'll have them come back, we'll have a special, some sort of a reception. We'll work on all those details and have them come back and honor their years. They have been a part of Calvary Gospel Church for decades, and we are very appreciative of this family, the Browns. And I would like, if we could, for Kevin and Linda just to come forward, and I would like for all of our ministers and elders to come forward. And before they take off, and we'll do this a little better, I guess I could say, or have a service dedicated to their ministry here in the future. But I would just like to take, and as a church, if we could just stand here, and I would like to just have our elder, Brother Caskey, if we could lay hands on them and just pray for them. This is a big jump. We've been talking about opportunity. We've been talking about boldness. stepping into pastoring is especially in today's world, is a very challenging thing. And I appreciate them for listening to God's call. Oh, we're gonna miss them. Sometimes you got to worry about, you got to practice and live what you preach. And opportunity doesn't mean everyone is going to stay here forever. And God is going to open up opportunities. And as Sister Linda says, at least we're not going to Germany or Zimbabwe, or they're going to Dodgeville. And but we still believe that there's a harvest in Dodgeville that God has waiting. So let's pray for them, if we could do that. Lord, I pray right now, Lord Jesus God, for Brother Kevin and Sister Linda. And I ask you, Lord Jesus God, that your hand would be upon them, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that your spirit would flow. Lord, that you would open up doors of opportunity. God, you have called them. You have prepared them. And Lord, now they are going. Lord, I pray, God, that you would anoint my brother, God, anoint my sister. Lord, as they take over this church in Dodgeville, Lord, that your spirit would flow, Lord, that they would lead this group, this people, Lord God, and take this church, Lord, into a new dimension, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to pray for Brother Kevin and Sister Linda. And we are excited for them. And I'm going to miss them. You can be seated this evening. I'm going to move very quickly into our life lesson for tonight. We've been talking about living the everyday principles of faith. And tonight's going to be a little bit different of a lesson. We're going to go through some steps here, and we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is our passage of Scripture that we have selected for this series, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Oh, if this is your first time maybe hearing this verse, and you listen to that or you read that and you're like, okay, this is a little bit confusing to me, I'm going to read this in a different version. It's the Phillips version of the Bible. And it says, "Now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for." How many of you have hoped for some things in your life? You have dreams, you have aspirations, you have goals in life. And so this is saying, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. I like to always take and personalize the scripture. There's a lot of things I can't see. I can't see the air, but I know it's there because I'm breathing it in. And, you know, I can't see all of the things floating in the air, and I can't see little microbes in the water, and there's a lot of things, but it means being certain of things we cannot see. We know they're there. We can't see them, but we're certain, we're positive, we're convinced that they are there. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. And it is after all only by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command, that the world which we can see has come into being through principles which are invisible. We serve an invisible God. God is a spirit. This invisible God spoke into nothing, and something appeared. Now, I've said this before. When you look at having faith that God spoke it and it happened, takes as much faith to believe in that as it does to believe in the theory or the process that everything we have here evolved over billions of years. I'm saying that because that's a challenge, because I do believe that if you don't believe in the beginning God, created the heavens and the earth, and you don't have faith that God created you and me and created our world and created this universe, it's hard to have faith in anything else that we are seeking to have faith in God for. It was a few years ago. It was one of those warm, humid summer nights. I live out in the country. Our house is surrounded by this year cornfields. And last year it was soybeans, but this year it's all corn. And it was one of those warm, humid summer nights. It was probably sometime in mid-July because of the height of the corn was up probably shoulder height. And it was just before the sun was beginning to set, very much like today. The temperature was in the mid-low to mid-90s, and we had one of those summer thunderstorms that just kind of moved through and just dropped some rain and then kind of moved off to the east. And as the rain fell and the rain moved on, and I was outside and you could see the lightning bugs. It's unique living out in the country. I don't know how many lightning bugs you see in town, but there were just lightning bugs all across the top of the corn and flying around, and you could smell the corn, the smell of those tassels as the tassels begin to tassel out, the corn begin to tassel out, and there was a thick fog that began to develop in the air, and as the sun slowly sank over the horizon, this dense fog began to set in, and you could feel the temperature begin to drop, and you could feel where that humidity that's in the air, and you can kind of feel that, and it's warm while the sun's out, and as the temperature drops, it gets a little bit of a chill. And I was walking down and walking around my yard, and it wasn't long that as the daylight gave way to the beautiful night skies, and wasn't long before that I could not see the cornfield, which is right across the road from my house. Literally, I mow the grass on the other side of the road, and I mow right up to the edge of the corn. And I'm sitting in the middle of my driveway, and I'm looking, and the fog was so dense. And it was a very unique situation because I walked down and I stood in the very middle of the road. And standing in the middle of the road, I'm probably 50 feet or so to the corn, and I'm looking, and I can barely make out the cornfield. The lightning bugs have been swallowed up by the dense fog, and I'm looking down the road east and west because West Medina is an east and west road. I'm looking as far as I can to the east, and all I can see is fog. And I look as far as I can to the west, and all I can see is dense fog. I look back towards the house, and I saw a dense fog to where I could barely see the lights on as the dawn to dusk lights come on around the house. And if it wasn't if I wasn't familiar with where I was standing and knew I was standing outside of my house in the road, I wouldn't know where I was. And I was struggling to see through this dense fog, and it was so unique because the little area where our mailbox was and our little sign that has our address, probably maybe a 50-foot circle or more, was clear. Right where I was standing, right at the end of my driveway, was clear. And I could look up, and I could see the stars, but I couldn't see any direction around me. And as I stood there are beginning to think of what an incredible, this is just like awkwardly weird to have this kind of denseness, and it's like totally clear where I'm standing. Now, we're doing a series on living everyday principles of faith, and there are times in our lives where we must rely on the familiarity of the road that we're traveling. There are times in our lives where that there will be clouds of confusion and uncertainty that descends upon our lives There are a number of our brothers and sisters here tonight that are going through some very serious health challenges. And I want to, this message is for you. It's for your family. I find that at times we find ourselves engulfed in a haze of worry and a haze of confusion. And just as I stood in the middle of the road in front of my house, not even physically able to see my front door, I couldn't see what was ahead of me. I couldn't see what was behind me. And I remember standing in the middle of the road, Brother Brunker, and I said, God, I don't even know where I am. And if I was here and I didn't know this location and I didn't realize or understand I was standing at the end of my driveway, and I had to walk out of this situation, I wouldn't even know which way to go because I can't see where the road goes. I just walked off into the fog, I guess having faith that there was no cars coming. But you see, there are times in our lives when we don't know which way to go. Our vision is diminished. And our anxiety tends to increase in our lives. And there's confusion that blocks the clarity at times of God's leading. And we begin to lose that grip of control on our lives and our circumstances. So many of us, because we're human, we want to be in control of life. We want to have control over circumstances, but there are times where that you are thrust into life and you are thrust into circumstances in which you have no control over. So the next time, perhaps, maybe you have entered into a patch of dense fog in your life, or maybe your family is entering in, you have to see how you would react to it. Walking into the fog or driving into it, how do we respond? How do we react? Most of the time when we drive into dense fog, we have a tendency to slow down and we have a tendency to follow the headlights or taillights of the car or the whoever is driving in front of us. There are times when we need to rely on another. We need to rely on God Himself, and we need to rely on the truth that we find in His Word. Faith is hearing the Word of God and believing the Word of God as truth in our lives. So whether we're walking into the fog or driving into it, how do we respond? You see, we may not always know what lies ahead, but God does. And more importantly, He sees us in our situations and we can trust in Him. So how do we react? How do we react when we can't see? Have you ever thought about that? Scripture tells us now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Paul reminds us in his words to the church of Rome in Romans 8:28, when we can't see God, just because we can't see Him doesn't mean He still isn't working on our behalf. He writes, and we know that in all things God works for the good to those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. You see, even when His presence seems hidden or distant, God is actively working behind the scenes, orchestrating events for our good and for His glory. So when we can't see God, maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling in this area. When you can't see God, He is still faithful. He is still faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 assures us if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. God is not going to leave us. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Even if our faith wavers or when circumstances perhaps seem so bleak, God is faithful to keep his promises, and he remains steadfast in his love for us. When we can't see God, he is still sovereign. Psalms 103:19 declares, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." You see, even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, we live in a world full of chaos. We live in a nation that is becoming more and more chaotic as the weeks and the months go by. And it's going to, I don't see things getting better. I don't see things say, well, we're just going through a little bit of a hump as a nation. No, our whole world is spinning out of control. So in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, God is in control. When we can't see God, God is still present. God is still present. Psalms 139, 7 through 10 reassures us. Where can I go from your spirit? David is the one to have been attributed to penning this Psalms. He's saying, where can I go, God? Where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? He's saying, if I go into the heavens, Lord, you're there. He says, if I make my bed in the depths of hell, Lord, you are there. It doesn't matter where I go, God, you are everywhere. Which means he is always with us no matter where we are or what we are going through. You see, when we can't see God, he is still our provider. We're talking about faith. Living the everyday principles of faith. If we believe his word, that's faith. And to every man is given a measure of faith. So when we can't see God, he's still a provider. Philippians 4:19 tells us, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." He will supply what we specifically need in this season, according to his abundance, grace, and provision. Have you ever had God come through just in the nick of time? I had lunch with a brother today, and he was sharing his testimony, and he said, you know, God has come through just in the nick of time in so many areas of my life. Sometimes God tells us yes, sometimes God tells us no, sometimes God tells us to wait a little bit. And God's timing is not always our timing, and I don't understand all of that. I suppose if I understood and I could take and explain to people God's timing and how to understand his timing, I could probably write a book and be a wealthy man. But you see, we don't know God's timing. We don't understand. I don't understand all that. But you see, even when we can't see God, he is still our strength. Isaiah 40:31 encourages us, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." You see, while we may feel weak, we may feel anxious, God's strength will enable us to persevere through any trial, no matter what it is. You see, when we can't see God, he is still our peace. He is still our peace. Philippians 4:7 assures us, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In the midst of confusion, God's peace can calm our hearts and our minds. You see, when we can't see God, he's still our hope. He's still our hope. Psalm 71:14 tells me that, "But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. If you're struggling in your faith tonight, all of these scriptures, these are for you. These were put in the Word of God for times like this. Moments like this in your life. God is the source of our hope. Even when circumstances seem confusing and seem dark, there are times in my life where I've stood in the middle of the road not knowing which way to go. And it was just like God just opened up. When we can't see God, He still hears our prayers. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop asking. 1 John 5:14 reminds us, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. A lot of times we don't get the response we want when we feel we want it or we need it, and we just give up asking. Just keep asking. Just keep praying. Even when God's voice seems muffled in the fog of our uncertainty, this is really important. Even when God's voice seems muffled through the fog of our uncertainty, our voice is not muffled to Him. We may have a hard time hearing His voice because of our circumstances and because of our anxieties and because of our frustrations, but He doesn't have the same frustrations and anxiety problems that we have. Just because we can't hear Him doesn't mean He can't hear us. Our voice is not muffled to Him. And God hears the cries of His children, and He responds according to His perfect will. You see, when we can't see God, He still goes before us. Oh, Deuteronomy 31:18. This is a promise. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Though we may not be able to see the path ahead, God is already there. God is already there, preparing the way for us and guiding our steps. While the fog and confusion of life's circumstances can bring confusion, there are times where, man, I'm like, Lord, I don't even know which way to go. And that darkness, the anxieties, but it can also bring a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. Paul instructs us in 2 Corinthians 5:7. He says, walk by faith and not by sight. So many times we have to walk by sight. We have to see and understand and know where we're going in order to commit to that step. And that's the hard part sometimes with God, is sometimes God leads us down paths where He gives us only enough light for the step that we are on. You can stand this evening and our musicians can come. There's a lot packed into this little short message. There's a lot of very positive Bible verses. But as we slow down and sink our hearts deep into these everyday principles, these are everyday truths. These are things that we struggle with every day. We must allow the peace to come even when we cannot see, even when we don't have the answer, even when we're frustrated, even when we're fearful, even when we don't know where to turn to. So church, brother, sister, friend, guest, we must rely on Him and His Word, because He is familiar. This is not uncharted territory for God. God didn't wake up this morning and say, well, man, I didn't see this one coming. I didn't expect this, Brother Repka. I don't know. I've never dealt with this situation before. God's got everything in control. We just don't always understand. But by living everyday principles of faith, His familiar way will become our familiar way. He's just asking us to follow Him. He's familiar. He knows you better than you know yourself. And we need to let Him be our guide. Not let fear, not let anxiety, not let the fog of life control us, but let God Himself be our guide. So as we just close out this very simple message on principles of faith that we can live every day, I just want to invite you, at whatever level you're at tonight in your faith, to say, God, help me to understand. Help me to follow these principles. It's one thing to listen to them, but we talked about faith requiring action. We have to act upon them. So as Sister Brittany leads us into worship, into song, I just want to invite you to come to the altar. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm struggling with my faith. I'm struggling with believing. But Lord, help my unbelief. Open up my understanding. And let Him be our guide. God bless you.
My faith will stay. Deepest waters, Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, You've never failed, and You won't start now. And keep my eyes above the world. and you are mine. Oh, you are mine, and you are mine. Oh, you.
Tonight, because there's quite a few points, but now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. When you look into Hebrews chapter 11, it gets into, go through and read that this week. I would encourage you. And that statement will make a lot more sense. And it is after all only by faith that our minds accept this fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command, and the world which we see has come into being through principles which are invisible. You can't see faith, but you can see the results of it. You can't see faith, but you can feel it being emitted from someone. Faith, quite an incredible thing, that God has given all of humanity a measure of faith. Doesn't matter if you're Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter. God has given a measure of faith to each person, and it's what we do with that faith, it's how we act upon that faith that makes a difference in our lives and the lives of others. God bless you. Have a great week, rest of your week. And remember, Saturday we have our ladies' event here. If you have any questions, Sister Lindsay Simmons, waving her hand over here. She's our ladies, over our ladies' ministry. Just ask Sister Lindsay. God bless you. And we will be back here. Sunday is Father's Day, so we're excited. We have a special Father's Day service. Brother Peter Sandin and be taking care of that for us. So God bless you. Thank you tonight to Sister Brittany and Cecily and your music worship team. God bless you.